Standing, I shone the light on the floor and then the wall above me as far as the beam could reach. The ladder was nowhere. Cold sweat crept down my sides like some kind of living creature. The torch slipped from my hand, fell to the ground, and switched off from the impact. It was a sign. In that instant, my mind snapped. It was a grain of sand absorbed into the surrounding darkness. My body stopped functioning as if its plug had been pulled. A perfect nothingness came over me. This lasted perhaps a few seconds, until I retrieved myself. My physical functions returned bit by bit. I bent over and picked up the torch lying at my feet, gave it a few taps, and switched it on again. The light returned without a problem. I needed to calm myself and put my thoughts in order. Fear and panic would solve nothing. When had I last checked the ladder? Yesterday, late at night, just before I fell asleep. I'd made certain it was there, and only then let myself sleep. No mistake, the ladder had disappeared while I was sleeping. It had been pulled up. Taken away. I switched off the torch and leaned against the wall. Then I closed my eyes. The first thing I felt was hunger. It swept towards me out of the distance like a wave, washed over me and glided away. Once it was gone, I stood there, hollow, empty as a gutted animal. After the initial panic had passed, I no longer felt either terror or despair. Strangely enough, all I felt at that moment was a kind of resignation. Back from Sapporo, I held Kumiko and comforted her. She was feeling lost and confused. She had taken the day off from work.
"I couldn't sleep a wink last night," she said. "The clinic had a slot at just the right time, so I went ahead and decided by myself."
She cried a little after saying this. "It's finished now," I said. "No point thinking about it anymore. We talked it over, and this was how it worked out. If there's anything else you want to talk about, better do it here and now. Then let's just put it out of our minds. Forget about it. You said on the phone you had something to tell me?" Kumiko shook her head.
"Never mind,"
she said.
"You're right. Let's forget about it."
We went on with our lives for a while, avoiding all mention of Kumiko's abortion. But this wasn't easy to do. We could be talking about something entirely different when suddenly both of us would fall silent. At weekends, we'd go to movies. In the dark, we would concentrate on the movie, but we could just as easily be thinking about things that had nothing to do with the movie, or we might be resting our brains by thinking about nothing at all. Often, I knew that Kumiko, sitting next to me, was thinking about something entirely different from what I was thinking about. I could sense it. After the movie, we'd go somewhere for a beer or a snack. Sometimes we wouldn't know what to talk about. This went on for 6 weeks, a very long 6 weeks, at the end of which Kumiko said to me,
"What do you say we take a trip tomorrow, go away for a little holiday, just the two of us? Tomorrow is Friday. We can take off until Sunday. People need that kind of thing once in a while."
"I know what you mean," I said, smiling. "But I wonder if anybody at my office even knows what a holiday is."
"Call in sick, then. Say it's flu or something. I'll do the same."
We took the train to Karuizawa. I picked that destination because Kumiko said she wanted a quiet place in the mountains where we could walk as much as we liked. It was off-season there in April. The hotel was hushed, most of the shops were closed, but that was exactly what we wanted. We did nothing but go out for walks every day, from morning to evening. It took a full day and a half for Kumiko to release her feelings. And once she did, she sat in the hotel room, crying, for nearly 2 hours. I said nothing the whole time, just held her and let her cry. Then, little by little, in fragments, she began to tell me things. About the abortion. About her feelings at the time. About her extreme sense of loss. About how alone she had felt while I was in Hokkaido. And how she could have done what she did only while feeling so alone.
"And don't get me wrong," she concluded. "I'm not regretting what I did. It was the only way. I'm quite clear about that. What really hurts, though, is that I want to tell you everything, every last thing, but I just can't do it. I can't tell you exactly how I feel."
Kumiko pushed her hair up, revealing a small, shapely ear, and she gave her head a shake.
I'm not hiding it from you. I'm planning to tell you sometime. You're the only one I can tell, but I just can't do it now. I can't put it into words.
Something from the past?